Welcome to the Innovation Drivers Podcast, where Canada's top technology leaders discuss ideas, successes, and challenges that are creating a better future. Brought to you by the CIO Association of Canada, in partnership with the Business Leadership Podcast Series.
Hey there, welcome to the Innovation Drivers Podcast. My name is Edwin.
And I'm Hamza.
Yeah, we're so happy that you joined us today. First off, Hamza, how are you doing? How's your world?
I'm doing well. We're all figuring out the new world of being still being in COVID, which is which is really unique. So it's going all right.
Yeah, it's definitely ever changing. I mean, even for me, just recently was changing my daughter from virtual school at kindergarten to in person. So just to share for those parents out there, virtual school for a 4-year-old is very difficult.
Right.
But right. I'm glad that we got to experience it. My daughter always sees me on a computer, Hamza. So it's like, it was almost normal to her. Like she was happy to have her own meeting, which was interesting. Right. That's like, because she sees me on a meeting and I'll be like, you know, Jade, I'm in a call right now, and she sees it. And then she got that on her own. So very interesting. I might have to talk about that another day.
Most workplaces have now met, I think, every kid and every person's family, because, you know, most video calls I'm on, at some point, somebody's son or daughter or family member pops in on those calls. So it adds a bit of levity, I think, into a day packed with video conferences.
Yeah, no, exactly. Exactly. But that was it. And it was, I just thought I'd throw that in terms of the new normal right now, right? So on this episode, I mean, I'm super excited to sit down with my friend of mine, Lloyd Lobo. He's the co-founder of Boast AI, which is doing good work. You know, they are doing R&D tax credit software, right? And making it easier.
It's something that most companies do struggle with in terms of, you know, getting access to government credits, financial credits for innovation and innovative work. And I think it's a great process that exists in Canada and the US, but a complicated one, and one that I know many companies struggle with. So excited to hear about how they've innovated and created a process supported by great technology to make that easier and better and drive more innovation for companies.
Yeah, and love that he's also a co-founder of a very large tech conference that happens, before pre-COVID, it was typically on the West Coast, either in Vancouver or in Banff, I think was one of the last ones. And, just doing good work, Canadian tech founder. And just growing. And in this episode, Hamza, I don't know what pulled out for you, but I really loved the conversation when we were talking about, you know, the rapid iteration and to really fail fast, you know, and how he's, you know, sharing his success story of growing in Canada and what we're good at and why, you know, he, outside of personal reasons that he's in the States, but, you know, how he could leverage it. Like what really stood out for you, and what were you excited about?
Well, I think Lloyd highlights a lot of the strengths of the Canadian innovation economy, along with the ability of having great talent in this country, but also that, you know, apart from all the great stuff that's happening here that we do, and it's a big part of the reason why we founded the Innovation Drivers Podcast, is to tell those great Canadian stories of entrepreneurship to, you know, fuel and inspire others. And Lloyd no doubt will do that once you listen to the episode.
Yeah, with that, let's get to the conversation. Welcome to the Innovation Drivers Podcast, Lloyd.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm super excited. I've known you for a number of years and can't wait to get right into it.
Yeah, Hums and I have been really excited to jump in and talk to you. You know, given your experience as a leader, a tech leader in a growing company, as well as being, I guess, a facilitator, an organizer of a huge tech conference, right? That happens yearly as well, obviously before COVID. And hopefully, I know that's transitioned Track Conference into a digital format that's really growing. So really excited to have you. So let's just get started, Lloyd. We really like to ask, what does innovation mean to you?
Oh man, I think like I'm living, breathing innovation every day, and it's something that nobody can escape in these times. What innovation means to me is changing the way people do things for the better, right? And a lot of people probably miss the for the better, for the better is key, because if you just innovate, you can build disruptive innovation. But if you are changing the way things people do, well, the way people do things significantly, like a step change, like 10xing the way people do things, so it's better, faster, more streamlined, cheaper, easier access for a greater good, for the better of or good of society, I think to me that's what innovation means.
Yeah, no, 100%. It's always changing things that are, for me, things that are there, but how do you make things better? I mean, I do come from an engineering background, and it's all, you know, there's nothing, you know, it's there's nothing quote unquote new, right? But it's how can we do it better, right? And sometimes it doesn't necessarily mean cheaper, but it just means better. I guess when you think about innovation in the industry that you're coming through, you know, what have you seen in terms of like the successes or the changes that you've done within your industry when it comes to like finance or tax credits and all those type of things?
Yeah, so I'm in a very interesting industry here, right? So each year, over $300 billion is given by governments globally to fund innovation through R&D tax credit programs. But the process to apply is cumbersome, manual, time-consuming. For every dollar you incur in R&D expense, it takes you more than a year. Basically, you have to incur that expense through the end of the year, file it with your taxes, and get it. And it's a long, laborious, time-consuming, cumbersome process with red tape. And what we're saying is we're changing that industry with artificial intelligence so companies can get more money faster without the manual work and audit risk here. Because Canada alone gives $3 billion each year. US gives over $10, $12 billion each year to hundreds of thousands of companies. Behind the scenes, what we're doing is we're integrating with a company's tech stack and financial stack so we can identify what work they're doing that meets the government's criteria, tie it to expenses, and then automate the application process. But really, when we decouple that, everyone starts a company with a certain mission in mind, right? Like a purpose. And our purpose and mission is to help innovative companies become successful. And so around the same time when we started Boast, we started a community with our friends at Launch Academy, which is a nonprofit incubator. We started a community called Traction. And today it's grown into a community of 60,000 professionals. And we bring leaders from some of the fastest growing companies like Google, Shopify, Twilio, etc., who share advice via weekly webinars, monthly dinners, annual conference, and whatnot. And I think like when you connect people together, and these collisions, the serendipitous collisions happen, new ideas form and they turn into innovation. They are like sparks for innovation, right? Innovation doesn't happen in isolation.
Hey, Lloyd, I want to commend you on the idea and what you've done with Boast.ai. I think, you know, coming from different industries and seeing the cumbersome nature of having companies be recognized for the innovative work that they're doing via tax credits and other benefits from governments, both in Canada and the U.S., you're absolutely right, is crazy cumbersome. And, you know, I think there's probably a lot of unclaimed opportunity for organizations. So I think it's just a fantastic idea. I know that in terms of your organization, you know, you're from, you spent some time in Toronto and most of your growth now, I think, is, I would imagine is happening in the U.S. What challenges, you know, do you think exist here in Canada around helping Canadian companies to grow from home? That's one of our big opportunities here, I think, as we look at our work across the CIO Association and a lot of the work that the Canadian government is also doing through Minister Baines, who was also on our show a few episodes back. But what are your thoughts on being a, you know, successful entrepreneur and building something great, but sort of building it in the U.S. versus building it here? What do you think those dynamics look like? What are your thoughts on that?
I can share firsthand, man. I'm Canadian through and through. bulk of our company is in Canada. We have significant customer base in Canada. We have teams across Toronto, Vancouver, Calgary, and we are overall 30 plus people in Canada, and I think we double that team in Canada next year. SF, although I live here, we have a small team here, will grow, but the growth in Canada is going to be significant. And I'm a big believer in growing the company in Canada. Heart roots everything. You know, we have a U.S. entity, we have a Canadian entity, but it's a Canadian company for all intents and purposes. And we're very, very involved in the Canadian ecosystem through like partnerships with Mars, Communitech, Launch Academy, and Lazaridis Institute and whatnot. Right. Right. So I can share firsthand both sides of the story, right? So after engineering, I moved to the US. I pretty much chased my wife. She was in medical school and then got into residency at Stanford or fellowship at Stanford. And we ended up being in Silicon Valley. Being in Silicon Valley was great because it gave me access to a network and knowledge and connections. I was part of a founding team of a startup in Silicon Valley that was well-funded by some big-name investors. And one of the hardest things in Silicon Valley is it's very expensive. People don't stick around. And particularly, they don't stick around because they're like, hey, if you have not raised another round of funding in 2 years, what's the opportunity cost of my stock options? But people jump around. And attrition costs a lot, man, because you ramp up somebody, mm-hmm. and then they're productive, and by the time they leave. So people don't stick right. around. They're not as loyal. They're more expensive, and so there were all these challenges in building a team here. So at Boast, we've effectively built most of the team in Canada. And in Canada, what we find is that people admire the lifestyle. I was just having this chat with a gentleman named Mark McLeod from previously founder of Shorepath Capital. He's a guy you should talk to as well on this show. And he was saying, like, people, there's this whole sort of vibe or aura that's created in the tech ecosystem that you got to work 80-100 hours a week and grow like mm-hmm. triple, double. And what that creates is burnout, right? It's not sustainable growth. And what I find is that the environment in Silicon Valley in the tech ecosystem, right, drives people to burnout sometimes. And in Canada, people care about different things. So it's a socialist country, moreover, and people care about things like work-life balance and having a family and sustainable growth. And couple in the fact that there's all these government incentives and people care for different things rather than chasing the almighty dollar. And you can build a people-first company, which is what we've done. And we've been very successful as in comparison to what I would have been able to accomplish in building a company in San Francisco. So I think that doesn't mean that Canada is all fun and roses and unicorns here, rainbows and unicorns. There's real fundamental challenges in Canada, and I think one of the biggest things are there's not enough talent on the go-to-market side, right? So there's two pieces to innovation. If innovation dies in the lab, what good is it if it doesn't see the light of the day? The reason why Silicon Valley is Silicon Valley is not because Silicon Valley builds innovative things. It's because they take innovative things to market and get it adopted sooner. So I think Canada needs access to talent that can commercialize innovation. The second thing is like a culture of rapidly iterating, quickly testing and failing fast. So mm-hmm. there's, the commercial viability of these innovations quickly versus, let's just drag this on. And also more funding at the earlier stages, right? When you have product market fit and you have an innovation that will have adopters, there's plenty of funding to go around. But I think more funding for those ideas, those innovative ideas, so they can rapidly iterate on them and either fail or move on to the next thing. So I think there needs to be a slight cultural change towards rapid iteration, failing fast, and commercializing. There needs to be more funding at the earlier stages and more talent around the go-to-market side.
Hey, Lloyd. I asked you a really loaded question. That's a really great answer and a really deep answer. Yeah, I think it's many of the things you just went through for Canada. It is funding. It is early stage funding from a venture perspective, or it could be funding in corporations. A lot of people that are listening to this podcast work in various companies, and I think also more organizations are investing. But regardless, I think that early stage funding, the culture you talk about, is so important, and some risk taking that needs to happen. And also, I think, we as a country to be bold on ideas, because we have a lot of great entrepreneurs like yourself And we have all the ingredients. I think we just need to do more of it. So a lot of the things we try to spur in these conversations in the Innovation Drivers podcast is to do more of what you're talking about. And I think that's great advice for our listeners.
Yeah. Sorry, go on, Edwin.
Yeah, Lloyd, I was just going to ask you a real question because, you know, I'm deep in the ecosystem, the startup ecosystem as well, and advising a lot. And what's unique to your to you and Boast AI, and I really want to get your honest opinion on this, is it's that, you know, that thought that you have to go to the US before you're successful in Canada. Do you think your trajectory would be the same if you just was fully in Canada?
I mean, we were like effectively fully in Canada, right? And like I was the only person in Silicon Valley. I think you got to play to your strengths. Canada has a lot of strengths. One, like really hardworking, talented workforce that, you know, cares about not just the almighty dollar because of the culture there. The second thing is there's huge government incentives at the earlier stages, like things like scientific research and experimental development, things like IRAP. Now there's FedDev. There's a lot of these programs that can be leveraged. And I think you should play to those strengths because cost and government funding and access to universities, to hire students and talent, right? I think you pick and choose what you want. If I had to build every company over and over again, I'd build it in Canada first and then leverage my network to access the gaps, to fill the gaps, right? So I think Silicon Valley helped fill the gaps, which is like, hey, how do you build a network? How do you learn to sell better? How do you learn to do marketing better? Because this is the reality of the situation. There's mm-hmm. a lot more companies in Silicon Valley that have gone from zero to IPO and have scaled with go-to-market strategies that are, it's not as prevalent. If like 10 people, you know, there's tens of thousands of people at like Facebook, at Google, and all of these people, places where you can tap into talent, like companies that have recently IPO'd, like Twilio, like Slack and whatnot. Just that volume of people is not there in Canada to go around. So leverage Canada to build your team and leverage the government programs and the support and get the knowledge you want. I mean, we're living in a distributed world right now. So you can hop on webinars. I mean, we ourselves are doing 2 webinars a week, bringing all these Silicon Valley leaders to share. You guys are doing great podcasts here. So I think leverage the knowledge, leverage the place you're at, leverage Canada to build your base and then fill the gaps wherever you need it.
Right. Yeah, no, that's amazing. I really appreciate that. One thing I wanted to, I guess, switch gears on and really get your thoughts and even Hamza's as we all, you know, break out and get into different worlds and networks and see things. Lloyd, I'd love to hear about some innovations that you've seen or heard from over the last 7-8 months, right? Since COVID hit. Like you said, you had to switch or you're developing these 2 webinars a week now, which was a pivot, which is innovation. So what have you seen now? What innovations have you come across that like you're super excited about now? And it could really change things over the next couple of years.
You know, and I'd also love to get Hamza's thoughts on it because he's at the forefront of technology at MLSE and whatnot, Raptors. And you guys, I think in entertainment and sports, do things much faster than anyone else, any other traditional industries sometimes I find. But what I found is that a lot of these, you know, the world could have gone dead completely, right? Like when everything gets locked down. But business for the most, especially in tech, has continued and others have adapted. I would say like the whole concept of Zoom virtual events, I never even thought I'd be doing virtual events so often, right? We were doing 1 traction conference a year and then maybe webinars here and there, but mostly focused around in-person events like dinners and conferences. And we immediately switched to virtual. And people are engaged. We got 60,000 subscribers. They're engaged. They're showing up twice a week. And we had to adapt. And there's all these tools and plugins into Zoom to make it engaging. One thing I learned, though, I spoke to the founder of AnyRoad last week. They're an experiential marketing platform. And he said, you know, people get tired of the same thing, right? Like you've done a whole day of Zoom meetings. You don't want to go to a happy hour at 5 o'clock, right? You're just fatigued because it's not the same thing. It's not a happy hour. So So like, try to incorporate different senses. So like in addition to the sight and hearing, which is what we're doing here, incorporate like a sense of smell, sense of touch, like different sensory touches. And that will elevate your event experience, right? That'll help you build emotional connection with people, because ultimately, you know, what they say is to build a big brand, you need to be a much bigger part of your customers' lives than just the functional benefits your software offers or your company offers, right? But like this virtual fatigue is real. And incorporating those sensory touches like taste, touch, smell, in addition to hearing and sight, is a great way to keep people engaged and build emotional connections with them. So that was one thing that I hadn't thought about. And so doing things like, you know, virtual workouts or like virtual cooking sessions. So that's great. I think on the detection of viruses, a lot of folks have adapted in that, you know, temperature scans and like testing kits. Even when you look at disinfecting places through like bots, you know, really great. And something that I hadn't expected at all, but the adoption of you know, on-demand delivery and ride-sharing has gone through the roof. I don't think I've stepped into a grocery store since the start of COVID. Like, we're just Instacarting everything, right?
I love it.
And on the wackier side, I've sort of seen, like, people build, like, caps out of pool noodles so they can, like, socially distance when they're out talking. Hamza, what about you, man? I guess, you know, the best way to ask this question is, what innovation are you using or consuming a lot right now?
Yeah, I love the some of the things that you just talked about, because I think thinking about what we can do that's different is sort of right on the table for everybody, every person, probably both professionally and personally, because we now have to go about life very differently. So I'll answer this in a different way than you know, echoing a lot of the sentiments that you shared, probably in a very different way than I would have 6 months ago. And maybe I'll take you to my answer from 6 months ago. I think 6 months ago, I would have said, I think where the application of AI and intelligence and compute power and all of those things put together with being able to leverage those new levels of information to be able to drive businesses or other strategic elements that different companies are working on, you know, as a game changer. And I think with the advent of mobile and all of our devices now and 5G and, you know, there's just a lot that can be done to move faster. My answer now is much more rudimentary. My answer now is the entire world has gone through a giant reboot and is actually still going through a reboot. The normal that we once knew, it has changed. And to the degree it's changed, who knows? I hope it doesn't change as much as I actually think it's going to change a lot, but regardless of what level you think the experience of just living in the world is going to change once COVID subsides to a degree, what we do know is industries have changed. Everything from companies and banks and basic things you might do on a day-to-day basis. You mentioned grocery shopping. My wife and I are in the same position. We use an app called Corner Shop, and we haven't been to a grocery store in months and months, and it's great. But when I think about, you know, sports, entertainment, you know, cities, how people will interact, everything is up for grabs right now in terms of coming up with new experiences on how the world is going to work. And what I'm really excited about is to see all of the incredible innovation that's happening both in Canada and the US and many other parts of the world. But if I just focus in here on Canada for a second, I think we have an opportunity, whether it's, you know, rapid testing, whether it's getting people into buildings safely, whether it's enjoying a community, whatever it is that you pick, there's an opportunity to think about how to do that better. And one of the things you mentioned about the physical experience, as well as the digital experience, I've always thought that that's a very important part of digital. It's how you digitally experience something and then how you maybe augment that and make that better with a physical experience. And when you bring those two things together, you know, things are usually amazing when companies and people and entrepreneurs get it right. I do think there's a whole giant set of opportunities that now have come to fruition that are available and ready for the taking. And somebody needs to go solve them. My comment to most of, you know, the innovation community is Canada is why not us? Why not all of us who are working these things? So that's what truly excites me. It's scary and exciting at the same time to know that life has changed. But it's exciting to think that we have so many different ideas and technologies and entrepreneurs who are going to create things to keep everybody safe and hopefully get back to some sense of normalcy. So much more basic answer than I think 6 months ago. Mine's much more of a human process and experiential answer at this point.
Definitely. And I want to get back to the previous question that I thought was pretty interesting. There's a lot of opportunity for innovation. And I'm a big believer that pain and suffering and stress is the precondition for growth. If you look at some of the fastest growing companies right now, they came out of the last recession, right? 2008-09, like Airbnb and Uber being the notable ones. What do you see are the biggest blockers to driving commercialization of innovation in Canada? What are, from your mindset, what are the biggest blockers?
I think there's a couple of things. One is, I think for sure, funding. And I think when I look at where we were 10 years ago in Canada from whether it's corporate funding, venture funding, it's leaps and bounds different now. In 2020, there is money here. There is money available here for entrepreneurs. The other thing that's been great is a lot of the work the government has put in the last couple of years as well, through the leadership of Minister Baines, and whether it's the investment funding for entrepreneurs, minority entrepreneurs, Black entrepreneurs, just most recently that was just announced. There's a lot of stress that's been put into making our innovation economy better, faster, more competitive globally, and arming entrepreneurs who have great ideas to be able to do things with them. And I think it's been a bit of a slow burn, but we're starting to have all of the ingredients to go faster. And then I think the second part is just doing it. I think the culture in the US around innovation is just, you take it, you mentioned it earlier as well, there's a product market fit, it's great, it's going to work, let's go. And I think we lack some of that in Canada, where we say, there's product market fit, there's a space for it, let's take another look. And I think we need to stop doing that. And again, I think if I look at where organizations in talking to a lot of our members across the country, CIO Association, I hear less and less of that now, which is inspiring to see that organizations are moving faster. But I also think in competitive landscapes, when your customers and your competitors start to impact your growth because you're not innovating or you need to go faster because you're seeing these external threats, it sort of forces people to get there. But I do think it's a combination of risk-taking and access to capital. And I think we're getting a lot better in Canada. I just think we need to continue to move at pace.
Yeah, I'm just going to add, and being dealt, deep within the ecosystem as well, it's also getting the awareness out to everyone. Right? I think the ecosystem is getting stronger, the startup ecosystem, the innovation ecosystem, but we don't celebrate our tech community until they become a Shopify, right? We're still quote unquote Canadian like that we're not, it's changing. I've seen the change over the last 10, 15 years, but it's still like a lot of people, the regular public, don't know who's a Canadian company or not. And maybe surprised that some of the unicorns are Canadians, right? So it's also getting that, and it could be a marketing thing, right, Lloyd? Like really like celebrating our tech community.
It is definitely. And I think it's also the founder sometimes, us entrepreneurs and generally professionals, they all also go through this syndrome where they feel like, hey, am I worth it?
I'm not worthy, right?
Yeah, you sort of go through that thought process, right? I think everyone should celebrate everything, and I think more than celebration, it's the support, right? Because maybe you don't want to celebrate and you just want to be heads down, but it's the support, and the support not just from technology, but it's from funding, it's from go to market, and I firmly believe that. Maybe the government should fund more early stage incubators to take you to product market fit. Like, how do you go from an idea to product market fit as quickly as possible, or like just kill the idea, right? And then take it to the next phase. For the next phase, there's lots of capital. Everything that Hamza says completely resonates here.
I think also, the reason why Edwin and I and the CIO Association created this podcast was to highlight, not just, but for the most part, especially in our first season, is Canadian success stories of entrepreneurship, and whether that's, you know, people like yourself, Lloyd, who I think all of Canada should know about you, because I think you'd inspire people and you'd inspire, you know, the next boy or girl out there who maybe has an idea, who also sees things like diversity, which are clearly important. So I think we have to tell those stories of our entrepreneurs and companies and success stories that, you know, that was a big factor. I'll ask Edwin to comment on this as well, but it's a great point because we need to tell more of these stories. It doesn't mean we're beating our chests and we're not being Canadian. It just means we're sharing the experience, right, in the most Canadian way possible. We're also telling our stories because they will inspire the next generation of entrepreneurs.
Yeah, I mean that's my point, right? I mean, I've been part of nationwide ecosystems like Startup Canada, and it's the Canadian in us, the humble, the humility in us, that we are heads down, we don't feel worthy. And this is personal too with me as an entrepreneur as well. It was challenging for me to say, yeah, why not? Why can't I 100x my business or do something like that, right? Because, you know, we look to people in our south, and maybe that's too, for a lack of better word, overconfidence or cocky, right? That's not too Canadian of me to say something like that. But we should be proud of our ingenuity. I mean, I come from the telecommunications industry, like Nortel Networks, where we built the underground of this whole internet that we're running this live chats on and video on demand and all this type of stuff. So it's interesting because the world doesn't know that was actually Canadian intellectual property, right? So this is where I get passionate about.
Definitely. You gotta talk about and give credit where it's due. And that's what, like, the whole support ecosystem from giving you the support on the engineering side, on the go-to-market side, on the funding side, and getting the word out. The more we do that, the better we get. And, you know, Silicon Valley does a great job at it, and every other country that should, definitely, if they're looking to boost the ecosystem. It's like a village, right? But when you look at companies, and we were talking about like startup innovation, taking an idea, innovation doesn't just happen in entrepreneurship or startups, right? It's happening in companies too. And what I often find is that people have innovative ideas within companies, but they get shut down a lot. Right, they never see the light of day, or they're not given the time of day by, you know, I guess due to bureaucracy, and they just suffer there. And whenever that happens, those people then, at least in Silicon Valley, a lot of those founders then just leave and go and start their own companies along those ideas. Not as much support like that in Canada from a early stage funding perspective. But really, I think as humans, we can all stop saying no and say yes and, right? Like, yes, and let's try this for a change. I think, I didn't touch on this, but I think saying yes is the first step to accepting the possibility of turning an innovation or turning an idea into an innovation.
I love that. Yes and. I love yes and. That's a great comment, a great thought, and something to leave us all, right? Because us tech leaders, sometimes we're stuck in our own silo, and we think we know everything, or we understand what's possible or not possible. And like you said, Lloyd, we shut it down. But I mean, I'm having an amazing conversation with you two. Very diverse, talking about a lot of the challenges being Canadian. So before we end, Lloyd, I'd love it if you could get, you know, just give us some final thoughts that you'd love to share to the tech leaders that are leading Canada, right? And whether it's an observation, a call to action, and what we should be thinking about moving into the next year.
Definitely. I'm going to talk about more of the people side of things. We're going through a very tough time right now, and empathy is the need of the hour. So just have empathy for the people that surround you, whether at work, whether at home. Like, you know, if somebody comes with an idea, don't shut it down. Have the empathy, because your empathy could spark change or spark growth in the person that you're communicating with, because they may be down because of something else. You don't know what their personal life is. I mean, COVID's turned the world upside down, and having empathy is the biggest need of the hour. People telling me all the time that, making fun of sales reps calling them, cold calling them, or being rude to people. I'm like, you know what? People are going through a tough time. You know, if it won't hurt you if you spend an extra 5 minutes on the phone. It won't hurt you if you listen to that idea. Have empathy and don't shut people down so easily, because we all grow together. And I think if we understand the emotion and the people aspect, innovation, you can cross any barrier together.
Lloyd, it's amazing. We do appreciate your time, you know, out of your busy day to join with us, share your thoughts, have this conversation. Can you tell us where we could find more information about you, Boost AI, Traction, anything? Let us know and we'll definitely put it in the show notes for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Go to boast.ai. And if you want to see upcoming events with all these webinars we're doing, you know, /events, or you can go to our blog for recaps of past events, tractionconf.io, and look me up on LinkedIn. There's a funny E in my name, LLOYED, Lobo. I'm very responsive, and I respond to everyone who messages me.
Lloyd, thank you.
Thanks for your time today. It's a great conversation.
Lloyd, well, hopefully we'll have you back.
It was a great chat and would love to do this on a Traction webinar coming up in the next few months.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
That's it, folks. Thank you for joining us on another episode of the Innovation Drivers Podcast with Lloyd Lobo.
It was a great conversation. I found lots of really great insight on technology, but also insight on just human factors that make entrepreneurs successful.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that really ironed home was like his last point, you know, on empathy. Mm-hmm. And one thing that was going through my mind, Hamza, was like, sometimes as leaders, you know, we have so many milestones, so many goals to do, but we may forget that some people may be battling something at home, or understanding that, you know, given where we are at this point of a global pandemic, is that we got to really think about the human side, like you said. And just when he said empathy, that like sent down shivers down my back.
Yeah, me too. And I think, you know, it's really important. And In innovation, whether it's in a startup or in an organization, we have to always remember that innovation is driven through people, and you have to treat people with respect and care. And as, you know, if you mix that with skill and excellence, then that's where, you know, the innovation happens, and it's through people. So I love hearing organizational leaders talk about empathy and talk about taking care of employees and people that are there that are really making the innovation happen. It doesn't happen all the time, and I'll tell you, it's a massive part of making sure that, you know, dreams come to reality. And whether it's invention or iteration for, you know, doing something better.
100%. So for more information about Lloyd Lobo, Boast.ai, the Traction Conference, please check out the show notes.
And for more information on the CIO Association, you can visit our website at ciocan.ca.
So please subscribe, rate, and comment on your favorite podcast player. Hamza, it is always a pleasure. I look forward to another conversation. Thank you for listening, everyone.
Yeah, and as usual, we want you to take this information, be inspired, and go get your day.